Living the Word today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, thank you for joining me for this continued study through the book of Ephesians. As we look at it just chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we've come to chapter 5 and verse 21 today, and we're getting into a new section. Now, Paul has talked to us a lot about our relationship with God, about what God's doing on the inside, that He's changing us. He's recreating us into this masterpiece after the pattern of Christ Himself, and that the Spirit of God is within us, changing us. We talked last time about how we can be filled with the Spirit of God, how He can control us and give us success in life and change us more into the image of Christ so that we can glorify Him more in this world. Today takes us to our relationships, and this is going to go all the way through the beginning of chapter 6, because if Christ is working on us on the inside, it should affect the quality and the nature of our relationships external. And today we talk about the most intimate, powerful, connected relationship that could ever be between a man and a woman in marriage. Now, we all understand, if you've been married any length of time, or if you're not, just looking at it from the outside, marriage is hard, okay? We all could admit to that. There are difficulties, and some marriages don't last, unfortunately. But I want to suggest to you the absolute best strategy for a successful marriage, and you're probably not going to be shocked by what I'm about to say, considering the setting that we're in and who I am and what I do. But simply this, the best strategy for a successful marriage is to have Christ at the center. Let it be all about Him, not about me, not about us, not about her or him, that it's all about Christ in our relationships. If we put Him in the center, if we have that as the motivating factor, then we are going to be in the roles that we should be in. We're going to not fuss and fume over what He says we should or shouldn't do. We're not going to be so obsessed at what that other person does or doesn't do, but we're going to be focused on who Christ is and how I can live that out in this relationship. So let's just jump into this portion. Now, He's going to talk first to wives, and He's going to talk to men, but it all begins in verse 21 where He says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay, just a moment, we're going to talk about women, and He talks about women being submitted to their husbands, and sometimes that causes us to go, in our modern culture. I mean, how could that be? That sounds so barbaric and so old-fashioned in some ways. But first of all, understand this. This is not just submission on a human level. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but both the husband and the wife and literally all people, married or not, are to be submitted to one another in the fear of God, out of respect for God, out of reverence for God. And that's why I want to share this with you in the relationship, in the relation to a Christ-centered marriage, because it all focuses around this vertical relationship. We have it vibrant, and we have it growing and being nourished spiritually from the vertical relationship with God. Then we're going to have a better chance, the best strategy, to have a vibrant relationship with others, marriage or otherwise. So it is a mutual submitting to God. That's why we need to have Christ in the center. And then He goes to wives, and He mentions three basic statements and then sort of a motivating statement that we're going to look at this passage. And look at verse 22 with me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Did you notice? Sometimes we just fasten on this, submit to your own husbands, and maybe that causes us great peace and comfort, and maybe it causes some of us heartburn. But notice how quickly He gets to the main point. He says, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, and then He goes, the husband's head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. So God has arranged marriage to function properly, biblically, scripturally, that the husband is to fulfill his role as the head of this family unit. Now, we'll talk about his responsibilities in just a moment. I know not every husband lives up to his responsibilities. Not every good husband lives up all the time to his responsibilities, okay? So we'll talk to the men in just a moment. And by the way, he talks a lot more to men than he does women. But this submission is not an inferior position. It's just the unique role that a woman needs to fit into and should fit into. And notice, I submit to the Lord. If you're a Christian woman, that should be just natural. I want to do what he says. And he says, God has arranged this. So it doesn't mean value. It just means someone has to have that position of headship for things to function properly. Okay? So need to focus on submission. The purpose of the marriage is to both submit to Christ, and for the woman's role, then you submit to the husband. And that simply means this. You let him take the lead. As much as you can, as much as he will allow, let him take the lead. Treat him as that person that's supposed to represent Christ to you and to live out the love of Christ before you and to you. Now, again, not every marriage works this way. Not every marriage is successful because it takes two people. Now, by the way, this is sort of off subject, but it's important to bring this in because you go back to verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is another reason why it is very harmful for a couple to be one a believer and not a believer. Sometimes we call this an unequal yoke because Paul uses that word picture in his letter to the Corinthians. One a believer, not and one not, because both can't be submitted in the reverence of God if one does not know God through Jesus Christ. And there's sometimes people say, well, you know what, he'll come to the Lord, I'll win him to the Lord, or it doesn't matter, or she will, you know, it doesn't matter what she believes, I just love her. Understand this. There can't be mutual submission to God if both don't have a relationship with God. So just a fair warning. So the submission is to allow him to be the leader. Treat him as the leader. Treat him with all that is due. And I know there's some marriages that are troubled. There's some marriages that are abusive. And this is just how it's supposed to work in the normal scheme of things that God has. And I know there's situations where, you know, what if the husband's pressing the wife to do something that's immoral or illegal and, you know, all that sort of thing, okay? But how it's supposed to work, he's submitted to God as the head, you submit to him. So just simply take a good look in your heart. Is that what I want to do? Is that what I'm striving to do? Is that my goal, to treat him with reverence? Now, you may say, well, sometimes he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve me to submit to him. Well, you do it because we are all submitted to Christ, okay? And he goes in to explain this in 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So God gets to set the rules. God gets to make those arrangements. And he continues on in 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the spirit of allowing him to lead. Now, I want you to drop all the way down to verse 33, and we'll read the intervening verses in just a moment, but he comes back in a summary statement, and he adds one more thing to the wife's responsibility, the wife's role. Nevertheless, let each one of you so in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects the Lord. Here it is to seek respect. We need to live submissively. A woman, a wife, needs to seek to respect him, reverence his position. And notice, it's all bound up in this relationship to Christ, to have reverence for him. Now, what about the husband that maybe you just say, how can I respect him when he treats me poorly, or he's neglecting me, or he's not paying attention? He's not living up to his responsibility. How can I submit to that? How can I have respect for him? Understand, that's hard on a human level. And I don't want to be unsympathetic. I don't want to be paint with too broad a brush, because I know there are struggles in people's lives, just like there's struggles in all of our lives. But we could say it this way, and I think it's important to say it this way, and it's simply this, that we do what we do because of Christ. He doesn't deserve it. Well, do it for Jesus. He's not living up to his responsibilities. Do it for Jesus. Try to give him the respect, because understand, he is in the role, whether he's fulfilling it well or not, but he is in the role that Christ has appointed him as a Christian husband. Treat him with that respect. And sometimes that means that we watch both the timing of what we say, the tone of what we say, and also we look deep into our own emotions. This is not just we kind of put a mask on the outside, or we put a muzzle on the outside, but deep down in our hearts, am I really respecting him? And the more we focus on this relationship vertically, we're submitted to Christ, have reverence for Christ, and somehow that needs to overflow in respect for him. So sometimes it's just as simple as this. Every once in a while in our marriages, as well as every other venue of life, we need to just kind of take a good look on the inside and sort of clear out and make sure our hearts are right. And you understand that so much of what we seek to accomplish in Christ is not so much of him trying to coax him to do something for us, but it's us preparing our hearts so that we can hear what he wants to say to us. So it all is an issue of the heart. We've talked a lot about that in the book of Ephesians, and I think you see that. Now, so live submissively, seek respect, and then go back to verse 24 where it says, Just as the church is subject to Christ. So we do this because he is the head. And we've already talked about that, but I just want to get that point made as those three. Now, so let's make a summary here. Let's see if we can understand what it is that we do, especially to wives. We'll get to husbands in just a moment. We do what we do because of Jesus. You as a wife, do what you need to do in a spirit of submission, a spirit of respect. You do what you do because of Jesus. And if that husband is loving and nurturing and connecting with you and in your life and you love him dearly and you just, you know, just want to be with him, you still do it because of Jesus, because of that gift that's been given. If there's moments when he's not living up to his responsibility, you do it because of Jesus. If this relationship is strong, the better chance is going to be that this relationship will be strong as well. Now, he flips around, and you're ready for this, in verse 25, he talks to husbands. And notice, he talks from husbands from verse 25 all the way through 33. So he has a lot more to say to husbands in fulfilling this role. And it's simply this: husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So there's just four descriptors probably I want to give you, and then a summary statement. The first is, husband, love her, live sacrificially. Just as Christ, as it says there right in the text, doesn't it, that Christ gave himself for her. Well, what did he give? He gave everything. There was nothing held back. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He gave his heart. You need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Let me just stick one word into our thinking, the word unconditional. He loved you and I when we were still sinners and in rebellion to him. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it, so he loved us without condition. Husbands, love your wife sacrificially. And do this unconditionally. Well, she's not treating me, she's not this, whatever. Here's where marriages get into major trouble. When you focus on the other person's role and not on your own responsibility. If she wouldn't, and just keep that going, here's the clue phone, okay, get ready to pick this up, all right? You can't change anyone else, but with God's help, you can see yourself change. So you fulfill your roles. I was talking to a counselor recently, and I just asked this person who does marriage counseling all the time. I said, what's the one big struggle and problem? He says, it's simple, no question. It's each person fulfilling their God-given role or not. So wives, we've already talked about it. Husbands, love your wife, regardless of her situation, her background, her baggage, her drama. Love her as Christ loved the church. And you do that sacrificially. That means you have to give up your own agenda. That means you need to do what she enjoys. That means you need to pay attention. And of all things that women need, and this goes all the way back to Genesis and the original founding elements of creation, that women have this innate emotional need to connect with their husbands. And she needs to hear your heart. She needs to know what's going on in here. She needs you to talk to her, to express to her, to include you in her life. Sometimes we men can be so compartmentalized. You know, I'm here, I help with the chores, I'm now to my work. There's never any crossover in this connection. So part of it is sacrificing our own agenda so that we can connect with our wives. So live sacrificially. Let's go on. We're not done. That speaking of Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And it goes on 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Secondly, not only live sacrificially and love sacrificially, unconditionally, but your responsibility, if you're a husband, is simply this, that we are to seek to make her a better person. Not to force her to make her a better person, not to manipulate her into what you perceive as a better person, but you help her to be a better person. How? By helping her be more like Jesus. And part of that nurturing, you saw it there in the text, sanctifying and cleansing, and that sort of interaction, washing by the water of the Word, you need to be the person that it helps bring her into the Word of God. It should be you who says, sweetheart, let's sit down and read the Word of God together. Let's make sure that we reserve time to pray together. By the way, and I shared this earlier, but there's some amazing statistics out there about Christians in divorce. You know, we're often told that Christians, people who profess Christ have the same divorce rate as non-Christians. And that is true if you just ask the question, are you a Christian, non-Christian? There was a study done several years ago that bore down not just into whether someone professes Christ, but whether someone is practicing the Christian life. And it got down to, if you worship together and so forth, the number one thing that was identified, and it took the divorce rate down to less than 1%, was simply couples who pray together every day. That one aspect alone in this study took the divorce rate down to a fraction of 1%. It says something, doesn't it? If you want to be a husband that's leading your wife as Christ leads the church, you pray with her. You pray together. If you have children, bring those into the prayer life. They need to hear Dad praying. They need to hear Dad instructing the Scripture. You say, I feel really incompetent to teach them the Word of God. All you need to do is just learn together. Go through it together. We talk about oftentimes about get alone with God. And that's your responsibility, that your family is learning that discipline. And if you can, do it together in a collective way. It will pay dividends that are far beyond anything you'd ever imagine. So you want to improve her spiritually, help her to grow spiritually. And then beyond that, look at 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. He goes on. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it. There's that again, that connect in there. Just as the Lord does the church, where we are members of his body. So he says, this is what we do as husbands, okay? That we love her as we love ourselves. You want to know how to love? I don't know how to love this woman. Think about how you love yourself. You take care of yourself. You nourish yourself. You try to make yourself a better person. You try to do the things you enjoy. And just flip all that around and give it back. Love itself. Love self sacrificially. Now, she may have different needs, different tastes, different wants. You have to figure those things out. But it's on the same level. Just as I'll do what I want to do. A husband who has his own agenda that does not connect with his wife is headed toward disaster. Trust me, I've seen it. And there's been times that I've been just as brain dead on that subject as anyone else. So I don't come to you as the expert on marriage who hadn't had struggles. You just don't see what's behind my record. I don't see yours. But this is where we need to come to nourish this wife, to help her to improve, and to love her just like I innately, naturally, take care of myself. You take care of her. Spread that net widely. And then he gets down to the purpose of marriage. And this is part of loving her herself, understanding that there's a purpose here. There's a God-given purpose. There's a connection between me and Christ here. And he says in verse 31, and here he's quoting from back in Genesis, if you will. For we are members of, verse 31, excuse me, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And he's quoting there from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And we need to think, husband, you need to think about it. Sometimes we are more cerebral and not as emotional, but you need to understand the purposes of marriage and make sure these are being fulfilled out as you love your wives. First of all, marriage has an emotional purpose, okay? In Genesis 2:18, it says, God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. We are not good alone. It took both of the genders. He said he created mankind, male and female. It took both of those genders to fully reflect the image of God back to himself. So you understand here, it was not good for man to be alone, okay? So it meets our emotional needs. There's also a social purpose in bearing children. In Genesis 1:28, God told Adam and Eve to bear children and to reproduce and to fill the world. So there's this social purpose of having godly, not just producing offspring, but producing godly offspring that are going to be light in this world. They're going to carry the gospel and to live out the gospel. Then there's the physical purpose of marriage. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7, so that would help man fulfill their normal desires that were given to them by God physically. So there's an emotional purpose, a social purpose, a physical purpose, but most importantly, this is where we are here in Ephesians chapter 5. There is a spiritual purpose that the husband and wife would experience this mutual submission and love for Christ as they fulfill their God-given roles. Hers, primarily submission. His, primarily love. By the way, those are probably areas where both husband and wife had the most problem. He speaks to wives about submission because sometimes that's a sticky point. That's a hard point. He talks to husbands about loving your wives because sometimes that's where we get into trouble. You focus on that and fulfill these purposes for marriage. Okay, so he says this. Now, he says in verse 32, he says, for this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. If you notice this passage, how the relationship between Christ and the church. And you remember, the church is described as the bride of Christ and he's the bridegroom. So it's if the picture fits, okay, from what Christ has taught in the Gospels and Paul's picking up here in Ephesians. So he says, just that relationship tied together, headship and love and so forth, that pictures marriage. Husband is the head, the wife submissively being part of this process, he loving her as Christ loved the church, nourishing her, and she respecting her husband. And there might be some question, well, what is he really talking about here? Is he using marriage to picture Christ and the church? Is he picturing Christ and the church to picture marriage? It's really both and. But he says, I want you to get this. He says, this is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Think about this. Let this kind of blow the lid off our thinking. Your marriage, my marriage, those of us who God has given a wife or given a husband, he says, you are to depict and to picture and to live out something that is so profound and so mysterious that it pictures, it reflects the love and the place of Jesus Christ in the life of the church. Marriage is holy. Marriage is sacred. We live in a world where marriages come and they're easily discarded, and you go on to the next relationship. And I understand there's many people who have wound up in a position where that marriage didn't work. And some of you are in a second marriage. Just make, wherever you are, make that work. You be the godly husband, the godly wife in whatever relationship you're in. But we live in a world where you understand where the sacredness of marriage is not what it should be. And if you're married, it is a sacred thing. We as a church need to support the reality of the sacred bonds of marriage that people are in. And then let's remind ourselves of this. We do it all. Why? Because Christ loved us, okay? You remember, the wife is to do what she does because Christ is because of him. And we as husbands are to do what we're supposed to do. We do it for him. We're back down to 32. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Part of that is the reality that we do it for him. Remember, the vertical relationship. If that's right, then this will be better. Not perfect, but this will be better. So he says, notice, I love how he says in 33, husbands, it's kind of like, you guys are a little dense. You really need to hear this, all right? Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love. Do you notice how he just kind of stacks up the words there? Make sure you love her as Christ loved the church. And then he says, love his own wife as himself. Again, there's the easy standard to understand. And he says, and so let the wife see that she respects her husband. We do what we do for him. Here's the secret, and it is no secret. Here's the strategy, okay? It is simply this. If you put Christ at the center and you're focusing on him in your marriage, fulfilling the role that God has given you as either as a husband or a wife, if you're seeking to keep this vertical relationship strong and to do what we do in this marriage for Christ and in the way Christ instructs us, marriage success will be yours. It's my prayer, and I want to just end today with a prayer that God would bless the marriages of our church and marriages of God's family. But thank you for joining me in this study of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll continue on into the next relationship between parent and child as we get into the next section of Ephesians. So thank you for joining me for this. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've taught us. Lord, sometimes these things are difficult. We know we've all failed. But Lord, we just before you submit ourselves to your will. We want to be the husband, the wife, the person you've called us to be. Help us to not resist what you've told us, but to completely accept and allow you to be at work in our lives. Most of all, we pray that you'd help us to keep our relationship between you and ourselves strong and growing and being nourished by your word and being refreshed through prayer. And Lord, help us to share that spiritual reality between the members of our families. And Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to serve you. We just trust you that you will grant your blessing as we seek to walk in obedience, empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.